Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast. Hi, Pod. How's it going?
Yay. Happy Monday.
Yes, we are back. Okay, so this topic is one that's near and dear, and it gets into what it's like to actually live and walk this path as an SMC on a day-to-day basis, 365 days a year. And we want to definitely acknowledge that while some people make it look easy, it might look easy, but there's a ton of work that goes into it behind the scenes, a lot of thought work. And so it's not an easy path. So point where we decide that we want to become S&Cs, even long before the baby arrives, we are thinking through, right? We're thinking about how we want to navigate, right? So one of the first hurdles that we grapple with is, how do we become an S&C? Do we do adoption? Do I go through a pregnancy? Do I do a surrogate? Should I have a one-night stand and not tell the dude? Sperm source, right? Do I go with a commercial sperm bank or do I go with a known donor, right? There are implications to both of those avenues, right? Can I point to somebody in the street and say, there's your sperm donor? Or am I just pulling up a profile on a sheet of paper, right? How do I tell my family and my loved ones that I've chosen this path, right? Because you making that decision is step one. Telling the people you love that this is your decision and having them share with you their unfiltered thoughts on that decision can be rough in some cases. If you're lucky, you have a totally supportive family and village structure in place, but that's not always the case. What do you tell them? I think a lot of us are naive when we come to the decision to become mothers or parents, right? We're like, I'm invincible, I'm healthy, everything is just going to work. Can I do this by myself? I have the financial means. And okay, so harder for me, and I think it's hard for a lot of people to grapple with, can I do this by myself, right? Yeah. And So once I got through that, then you start thinking and you start going through the process of actively trying. And then that's where you get hit with the, I'm not invincible, but I didn't get to that point until I had my second child. So for me, it was like clockwork. I grappled with the planning side of it. I was ready to try. I was not doing it with a partner, and it worked on the second IUI for my first kid. So there wasn't a whole lot to wrestle with at that point. So those are probably two of the biggest hurdles to get over, what your body can do, and then mourning the vision of having a partner.
Okay.
Do this myself. Mm-hmm. And so after I ran the numbers, I figured I could, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But there's also like a two-pronged approach in the larger SMC space. There is the type A or the type B SMC, right? And so when you're, what do they call it? It's not type A, type B. It's the plan A, plan B SMC, right? If you're a plan A SMC, for whatever reason, that this was always going to be your path, right? You knew that if you wanted to have kids, you were going to get a sperm donor. You were going to have them on your own. You were going to raise them on your own. And you were fully confident in that, that path. A plan B SMC is someone who envisioned, for whatever reason, that they might be doing this with a partner. Or for whatever reason, their ideal did not pan out. So then it is defaulting to plan B. And I think myself and quite a good number of SMCs are plan B SMCs, where we do say you have to mourn the loss of what that dream was for you. So for me, I was married. And I thought while I was married that I would bring a kid into the marriage. When that did not happen, and I was dating. So I didn't necessarily too much mourn the divorce, Mm-hmm. I just always thought that I would be partnered and have a kid. And so when that did not happen, I had mm-hmm. to come to terms with, okay, so I'm doing this, and then go through that entire thinking process. So that took me a good part of a year. I think that being an SMC, for better or for worse, forces us or challenges us to live life bravely, right? It scares the hell out of me mm-hmm. to be home alone with kids, and there might be like a rodent outside or a snake, right? That I have to kill or something. But there's so much bravery involved in the path, and we have to have these open and honest conversations with our kids. Mm-hmm. It almost, our choice almost gives us like a stepping stone. And so at every step of the way, you could either be honest or play around with the truth and tell an mm-hmm. alternative fact. And so each conversation you have with your kids, or as you navigate society as an SMC, you get to make some personal choices about how you tell your story, who you tell your story to, how you convey it to your kids, because those little eyes are watching you mm-hmm. and they're starting to build foundations of their own personal integrity as well. And I think that matters. So by having those honest conversations, I don't know all the answers, but here's what factors into my decision, right? Because we spent so much time thinking it through, by the time those little ones start to have the questions, hopefully it rolls off your tongue. One of the more challenging conversations is the conception story, right? And in the SMC space, we say, tell them early, tell them often, because it gives you an opportunity to practice your narrative before the costs are high. So I've never felt as seen as I felt when I was pregnant without a ring on my finger, because we are conditioned mm-hmm. in this heteronormative society where two parent households are put on a pedestal and everybody else is trash, right? And mm-hmm. so it's just, that's how I was navigating the world. But one of the interesting conversations that I had was when my daughter turned one, and somebody, her name is Noelle, and happy and jubilant, we're playing with dogs, and somebody was just like, oh my gosh, is her birthday in December? I said, no, December is when she was conceived.
And then you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, because I did IVF. And so you knew when it exactly happened. And it's just like you said, had I been married, it would have just rolled off, right? Because you're probably looking at me like, but that's the whole part of like practice, right? Because the practice is not for other people. The practice is for you and your kid. Mm-hmm. And as often as you say it, you share, hopefully you're consistent with it and it grows as the kid grows because they're listening. And so we were at Wine Wednesday and a conversation came up around, do you call it a donor? Do you call it, what do you call it? Do you call it the baby dance, whatever? And yeah, I think a lot of the kids are also bitter because they've been lied to, right? To be perfectly honest, mm-hmm. we're starting to see, this will probably be the second or third generation of donor conceived children and with SNCs firmly in the mix. And I guarantee that the narrative is going to be a bit different once the community is more inclusive of our family structures. So in our household, we refer to the donor. For me, it's just clean cut, clear and dry. It's just like when we talk about body parts, we call a penis a vagina and we call breast, right? There's when you start mixing up terminology and calling it cutesy things, a lot of the meaning, a lot of nefarious behavior kind of gets mixed in and it just becomes a recipe for disasters. What I tell my kids is just going to be straight, no chaser. It is what it is. And let's have that conversation. And that way you get in front of it. So quick question. Did you ever go through a stage where you had worries, you had concerns, and you were like, I'm not sure if I could do this? I did spend quite a few years thinking. And I think once I made the decision, I did not waver. We get the folks who come into our space thinking, and they're just like, yeah, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure this is the best thing to bring a kid into this world, you know, how to father. And in the midst of their meltdown, they're actually dragging us down with them. And it's just like, you can't serve two masters. Like you can't straddle the fence. It makes for a really dangerous situation because once you start thinking and then you start monitoring your cycles, you already are aware that you could get pregnant, right? With anybody that you choose to be intimate with. And so you have lost plausible deniability for me at that point when you are tracking your cycles and then you wind up with an oops pregnancy. Like there's no oops pregnancies, right? So you can't really straddle the fence. Otherwise, you put yourself in a situation where you're not sure what that other person is going to say or do. They're trusting you. You're getting down and you're intimate. They're trusting you to be honest, right? Mm-hmm. And so to some extent, there is a trust issue if you do all of that, knowing what you know and not give the other person a heads up, right? So you can't straddle the fence. And many people end up starting on this path and then verging from this path because they get pregnant by mistake and they end up in a disastrous situation because it's not anything that was discussed. It was not anything that was thought of, but you know, in your heart of hearts that you were tracking your cycle. So for me, once I made the decision, I was done. But in our community, we do get those people that come there and they're so centered on themselves that they don't realize that we are actually living this life. So when you're like, oh my gosh, is my child going to be a detriment to society because they don't have a father? Those are my worries and my fears. And it's just like, I got a 15-year-old and that's not the case, but all right, I'll sit here and listen to you as you trashed our lifestyle. Me, I'm afraid of my children when they're adults. So everything that I do, I try to do very thoughtfully because my kids won't be kids forever. At some point, they're going to become my peers, right? And they're going to ask me, hey, mom, why did you make this decision? I want to understand that. And I want to be able to articulate that to them with a high degree of credibility. I want them to be proud of the way that I raised them. And so for me, I'm thoughtful every step of the way because I don't want my kids to turn around and have to love me, but not respect me and the choices. And now the entire community benefits from that because that is my compass. They are my North Star. And everything that I do and everything that I am and how I navigate the world is so that they can respect me. And I love this community so much to put that out there. Like, I love y'all, but those little people didn't have a choice in this world. And I need them to respect me. Well, Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasnc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.